This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, black votes and white candidates. Tonight's guest, Lewis Martin, deputy chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man in charge of the Humphrey Drive for the black vote. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Tonight we had planned to ask a Republican guest why the black vote should go for Mr. Nixon. A last-minute scheduling problem has sent us in the opposite direction, and instead we will be asking a Democrat why blacks should vote for Mr. Humphrey. 2 weeks from tonight, on October 28th, we'll ask Senator Edward Brooke about voting for Mr. Nixon. This election year, for the first time in our history, about one-tenth of our registered voters are black, just as one-tenth of our population is black. But a lot of those 7 million black voters see their presidential choice as much more sharply limited than the one facing their white counterparts. With the possible exception of George Wallace, none of the major candidates has taken a firm position to influence the black vote. Mr. Wallace decided to run on a platform of law and order, a not-too-polite euphemism for keeping them in their place, the them, of course, being black Americans. Both Mr. Nixon and Mr. Humphrey have parroted the, quote, law and order, unquote, phrase to a lesser of great extent. Most political observers say Mr. Nixon consciously decided to ignore the black vote, reasoning that this year he can and will win without it. Mr. Humphrey seems to feel the black voter has no choice but to vote for him. The opinion polls do indicate that 8 out of 10 black votes will go to Mr. Humphrey, and Mr. Humphrey seems to believe the polls. For example, Congressman John Conyers invited the Vice President to make an additional appearance before his Black National Committee of Inquiry after the convention to argue for their support. Mr. Humphrey, however, declined. That committee met again yesterday, and by a close vote decided it could not recommend any of the major presidential candidates to the black voter. Tonight, our guest is Mr. Lewis Martin, deputy chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man in charge of the Humphrey Drive for the black vote. Mr. Martin is standing by in Washington, D.C. to answer your questions. Mr. Martin, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Thank you so very much for being with us.
I want to thank you for inviting me.
Mr. Martin,
I want to congratulate you on your network. I'm delighted to learn all about your operation.
Thank you so very much, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Martin, we'll begin our conversation tonight, and with this question. Why should black voters support Mr. Humphrey or any other white candidate for that matter?
Well, basically, Mr. Shields, after all of the discussion of the issues and the hair splitting on the issues, we focus on the man. And Mr. Humphrey is a good man with good instincts and a lifelong record of good deeds. He's a man you can trust. And I think this is the key to it, the man you can trust with the great power of the presidency of the United States. And I think his record gives all of us an assurance that he will move forward and help us achieve the things that we know we must achieve in a society.
Well, many black leaders have stated that this year is the one year that the Democratic Party should be told that they no longer hold a mortgage on the black vote. And as a result, they are asking blacks to boycott the national elections this year. What is your feeling about that?
Well, I've heard the talk, but the facts are that the Democratic Party has never taken Negroes for granted. I think the Negro or the black electorate is very sophisticated. They know what has been accomplished. They know the facts of political life. And they are not voting out of some blind habit. They're voting because the Democratic Party has made the record And over the past 4 years, it has done a great job of advancing our cause. Of course, we're not happy because we have not moved fast enough. But one of the problems that we've faced is the reluctance of the opposition party to support many of the measures advanced by this administration and by Johnson-Humphrey leadership.
You stated earlier that when it gets right down to the basic issue, it's a matter of the man being judged. But yet the man must run on the platform of the party. Is that true?
He runs both on the platform on the party and his own record as a public figure. He's true to both himself and the platform of the party.
Well, can the black voter today actually be able to separate Mr. Humphrey from the party itself?
Well, I think both the party and the candidate deserve the support of black people if we are realistic in this society. We are a minority group in this society, and the Democratic Party and Mr. Humphrey have consistently worked toward the goals that all of us will agree that must be achieved to get true democracy. And I must say that nobody is perfect, and neither the party nor the candidate. We have to choose between those who have done most for us and who are pledged to do more. I must say that both the candidate and party spokesman have often said that they wanted to move faster, but they cannot move altogether without support from everybody. And I think that the people of America, the black people of America, should strengthen the hand of those who are moving in the right direction.
Well, what answer do you give to the black voter who looks at Mr. Wallace and sees Mr. Wallace's growing popularity and notices that many Democrats, as well as Republicans and white Democrats, for that matter, white Republicans and white Democrats are moving into the Wallace camp? What kind of answer do you give to the black voter who sees this and says, well, now, here is a typical example of the kind of white racism that is rampant in the Democratic Party. Now, most of these people are leaving to go over to Mr. Wallace. What kind of answer do you give them?
Well, I think this is an indication of what the party really stands for. The party has become too liberal for bigots. Strom Thurmond had left the Democratic Party to join Mr. Nixon. He walked out of the Democratic Party in 1948 and took the Southern bigots with him. And we have had a progressive Democratic Party growing more progressive over the years, and it is not a good home for those who aren't progressive. And it's no surprise to me that those who are exploiting fear and pandering to the prejudices of people find themselves uncomfortable in a party whose leadership is determined to move forward on the things that we want.
According to a story in yesterday's New York Times, it was called The Dilemma of the Negro Vote. There was a line there that says that the nearly 7 million Negroes registered to vote throughout the United States, but their impact on presidential politics this year may be the most limited of the decade. Now, am I right in assuming that the Negro vote is not really going to be that important this year?
Well, I think it is going to be important because I think that you will have a tight contest between the principal standard bearers, and I think that will show up in the states with large electoral votes. And I think that the strength of the Negro vote will be decisive in determining who gets those electoral votes. I recognize that in some states where in the Deep South, which are solid for Wallace perhaps, we do not have a margin of that we can call the black vote decisive. But this is not true in the major states, according to our information.
Mr. Martin, what kind of explanation do you have in reference to Mr. Humphrey's statement about a law and order that was made this past Friday?
Well, I don't like to get hung up on rhetoric in one speech. Mr. Humphrey has consistently said and acted over and over again to indicate clearly that we must have law and order, but we must base it on social justice. And I think he has said many times that every time another candidate would build a jail, he would build a schoolhouse also. And when they would move in police manners, and we need police in some areas without question, we would need more basically to meet the needs of people in poverty and who are suffering from injustice in the society, and Mr. Humphreys recognized that. I think this has been his lifelong record. And because in one speech he does not incorporate all the rhetoric that everyone thinks is necessary, and even in the law and order speech he made it clear that police power alone could not do the job. We must attack poverty and the conditions which breed violence. He made that clear Saturday.
This is Night Call in New York. Tonight our conversation is Black Votes and White Candidates. And our guest calling in from Washington is Mr. Lewis Martin, Deputy Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man who is in charge of the Humphrey Drive for the Black Vote. And our telephone number is in New York, 866-5010. And if you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. Remember, we welcome your calls, collect. And just before we return to our guest, Mr. Martin, and with the calls coming in, a reminder to our great number of listeners who call in every night, we certainly welcome your phone calls, but we've been getting some complaints in reference to the length of time that some of our listeners have taken on the phone, and we're asking you, we like to be courteous, and we certainly don't want to offend anyone, but we're asking you to be kind enough to kind of share this precious time with other people who want to call in. We always hate to cut you off, but we only have 1 hour in which we can handle calls coming in from 76 stations, so please be considerate enough to your neighbor, to your brother, to your fellow Night Call listener. We'll take our first call tonight, Mr. Martin, from New York. Mrs. Mack is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Your call, ma'am.
Yes, good evening. I'm calling, the candidates for the year, Humphrey, Nixon, and Wallace. It seems to be that Humphrey is the main candidate for the Negroes this year, and my personal feeling is because, well, we know what Humphrey has to offer. I mean, we've had his campaign end session for 4 years already, and we know what he's basically going to offer for the black people. Now, as for Wallace, we know we don't have a choice. And Nixon, I mean, he's been running ever since the early 60s, and there we don't have a choice. So I wonder, what's your basic feeling about Humphrey as a candidate, other than just he's being forced upon the black people? Does he really have something to offer?
Well, I'd like to answer that. I'm delighted at the question. First, I want to say this, that Mr. Humphrey has been a member of the administration team.
Yes.
But as president, he will be captain of the team.
Yes.
And that makes a great deal of difference. You said, as I gather your question, that you assume that this is just some continuation of the present policies.
Yes, sir.
I think that we cannot say that, because Mr. Humphrey has not been in the seat to make the decision. He will be in the driver's seat as president, and he will have his own style and his own decisions. And I think we have this. He should be given that opportunity based on his long life record of good deeds.
Well, I don't think it's just basing him on a continuation of policy so much as to what he would do for the situations of the country. I think that is basing him on the policies of what he has done for the black man in the past, looking back at his records, and looking over the records as to Humphrey and Wallace. Well, we know from long time history that Wallace had nothing to offer actually to the black man until this year. Lately, he's been running second place for candidates. But as for Humphrey, I think the black man is more or less thrown in to vote for him simply because Well, let's face it,
well,
you don't have a choice.
Maybe I ought to refresh you on the record.
Yes.
As a young man, as mayor of Minneapolis, he established the first FEPC.
Yes, I
in any city.
Yes.
In 1948, he stood alone in the leadership for civil rights and changing the whole orientation of the Democratic Party from the South, and caused a walkout by Strom Thurmond and the Southern delegation.
Yes.
In the Senate, as a senator, his name is associated with every progressive measure and civil rights and in every field that's relevant to the needs of our people. He has consistently, over a long period, been on the right side of every issue that's relevant to us. And man with that kind of background seems to me to deserve the confidence and the trust of those of us today. And in the last 4 years, he's been as vice president and not in a position to make decisions by himself on matters of public policy.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that if the black people could actually vote all over, if they had a chance to go all over and elect a different candidate other than the three that were selected, do you think that they would still end up choosing one of the three?
Well, I think they would choose Humphrey if they took the time to examine the background and the records of the people, of the men we're talking about.
Mrs. Mack?
The Democratic Party has no better candidate than in terms of his background and record and experience and his relevance to our times in Hubert Humphrey.
Mrs. Mack, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll return to our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Lewis Martin after station identification. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to Lewis Martin about black votes and white candidates. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, calling in from Washington, D.C. And once again to our Night Call listeners, we certainly hope that you will be kind enough to make your questions short so that we can accommodate the many people who attempt to get through every night. This time we'll go out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mrs. Pickett is hearing Night Call over WTMJ. Mrs. Pickett, good evening.
Yes.
Your question, ma'am.
Well, I would like to ask our speaker if he thinks he should not urge the Negro to vote for Mr. Nixon. And this is my reason. All of the polls show that Mr. Humphrey is so far behind that I think it would be a much better chance to have a clear election, or clearly won election, if Nixon wins. Because that way, well, Nixon, Mr. Humphrey, and Mr. Wallace may turn out to be almost equals. But if Mr. Nixon can win by a wide margin, we will be sure of getting rid of George Wallace. What does he think of that?
Well, I couldn't agree with you at all. In the first place, I think we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to support those who su- support support the causes that we represent. There's no way in it I can see that anybody examining the candidates could support either Wallace or Nixon, and especially any black citizen. I mean, here are candidates who have shown no concern, no basic concern for the issues that are close to us and important to our lives and our children. And secondly, I can't agree with you on the polls. I think that the differences in the polls, we can't let the polls dictate our choice of the presidency. We couldn't leave our judgment and our conscience to the poll takers. We have to stand for something, and I think that's the way we gain respect.
Well, yes, that's very true, and yeah. I am certainly I'm all for Mr. Humphrey.
That's
and
wonderful.
I've followed Mr. Humphrey's record all the way, and I don't like Mr. Nixon.
You're great Americans. Keep supporting it.
However, I do think this, that Mr. Nixon is not as bad a man as he once was. I think he has matured, and that he is certainly a better man now than he was when he ran the time before. And if it's a matter of I wouldn't want to vote for Mr. Nixon, but if it seems to me the way the game is going, the way the election is going, if I sincerely feel that a vote for Mr. Humphrey would weaken Mr. Nixon's chances and give George Wallace a better chance, then I certainly would rather see Mr. Nixon clearly elected. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I can't agree with you.
I think a vote for Mr. Humphrey will help him win. I think he's got a winning chance, and I think we can't let these poll takers confuse us. In 1948, you'll remember, everybody was certain that Dewey would be elected because the poll takers had chosen him.
That's true.
But by a stiff fight put up by concerned citizens who were determined to give a man who stood for them their support, he won and created quite a miracle of political life.
Yes, well, I hope you're right. Most of the time I'm a Democrat, although sometimes I vote a split ticket. And I sincerely hope you're right, but I just thought I would interject that because that's what I've been reading. And Mr. Humphrey himself has also said that if the election would go into the House of Representatives, he himself would rather give all of his strength and ask his supporters to support Mr. Nixon in the event that such would occur.
Well, nobody can support Mr. Wallace without question. I agree with you. But I think we must be honest with ourselves and our consciences on this urgent matter. This is a critical matter, and
I don't think we
should make this a popularity contest, a bandwagon operation conducted by poll takers. I think in 1948, had we done that, Mr. Dewey would have been president. Instead, we got Mr. Truman, who was a vigorous champion of our cause.
That's true, very true.
Mrs. Pickett, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is Night Call in New York. Our guest tonight, Mr. Lewis Martin, Deputy Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man who was in charge of the Humphrey Drive for the Black Vote. And tonight we are discussing and conversing with him on black votes and white candidates. And of course, we always welcome your call and certainly welcome your conversation. Collect at our three numbers, which we'll give a little bit later on. Right now, let's go out to Detroit, Michigan. Mrs. Smith is hearing Night Call over WJLB. Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Your question, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Shields, I would like to speak with Mr. Murren. Hello?
Yes.
I did hear you mention a couple callers back. You made mention in connection with Mr. Humphrey that this is a vote that the blacks should make. And I think you used the word trust in connection with him.
That's right.
Now, are we as black people in a position to trust any of the three candidates?
Well, I think the record of Mr. Humphrey entitles him to that trust.
You do.
He has demonstrated over a long period that he has a position of strength and conviction on the issues that are relevant to us.
Mm-hmm. You feel, in other words, that he is on our side in this fight, or this struggle, I should say.
Absolutely.
You do.
I really do, and more than that, I think he is a fighter. We have not only a man who has the conviction, but a man who will fight for those convictions. He stood alone many a period in American history on the right side when it was not popular to be that way.
Well, in history, seemingly, pretty much leaned on the black vote. Now, here I did hear a speech of his where he comes up with the same thing that Wallace has said and Nixon comes up later with. To me, this is a puppet move, more or less. I mean, all of a sudden, this is law and order. This is what's getting through to the people. You know, and I don't understand, and it seems like this is the first year that black people have pretty much decided that no more can we tolerate this type thing. I mean, if Wallace gets in, this is, you know, white society's hang-up. I mean, this is the way I honestly feel about it. And I can't see voting for any of the three, really.
Well, I must say this, that the fears and of a lot of people are being exploited in this period.
Right.
And it's an unfortunate situation in this political campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But when Mr. Humphrey speaks about this issue, which is in the forefront of the campaign,
mm-hmm.
he is careful to point out that in order to get law and order, we must do something about the fundamental problems that cause these disturbances. He talks of, in every instance, about social justice, about eliminating poverty, and doing something about the basic causes of unrest.
But does he ever mention justice?
Yes, he does.
He does.
He's done that repeatedly, and I don't think we don't have a public figure in American life who is more concerned and more compassionate in handling these problems. And he's demonstrated that in his lifelong record.
Okay, thank you much. I certainly hope he deserves
it. I'll be sure to vote for Humphrey.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, and this time we'll go out to Philadelphia, and Miss Anderson is hearing Night Call over WHAT. Miss Anderson?
Hello.
Good evening.
How are you? There's only one main point that seems to be stressed today to me, and that's the law and order theme. Now, what I don't understand is the fact that this country was built on violence, et cetera, and all through the years, well, white people, as it goes, have committed their different forms of violence. Well, now, they're willing to send us to a foreign country to fight for what they feel is American democracy. Why must we turn our cheek here? Why can't we fight here since we go all over the world fighting other colored people? Why can't we fight for what should be ours here? That's all.
That's an excellent question. And I think in Mr. Humphrey, you have a fighter for the causes at home that are important to us. And I think that we should support a man who understands these issues. And he has time and again pointed out that we must have true democracy here at home. And he recognizes the urgency of doing something constructive about our problems here. I couldn't agree with you more that we have a very critical situation in our country, and the fears are being exploited by some of these candidates. And Mr. Humphrey says we must vote our hopes and not our fears.
What about Dick Gregory?
Well, Dick Gregory has no possible chance of winning anything in this election.
Is that the reason why he is
and
not?
And basically, understand this. You have three candidates, two major party candidates, and everyone knows that this is the decision is going to turn on what happens in that arena. I have respect for some of the things that Mr. Dick Gregory says, for some I question. But sincerely, I think we've got to be realistic and recognize life as it is, and I couldn't agree more that we must be concerned that the people we support are interested in us. I agree with you there.
Ms. Anderson?
And I think Humphrey is.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, calling in from Washington, D.C., right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Lewis Martin after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a black psychologist, the head of the Fair Campaign Practices Committee, the presidential candidate of the Communist Party, the head of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and the star of the Broadway musical, Hair. Monday, Dr. Alvin Poussin, the Harvard psychologist and host of the weekly NET series, Soul. Tuesday, Samuel J. Archibald and What Makes a Campaign Fair. Wednesday, Charlene Mitchell, running for president on the ticket of the Communist Party. Thursday, Jack Greenberg, executive director of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People's Legal Defense Fund. And Friday, Donnie Burks, star of the revolutionary Broadway musical, Hair. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to Lewis Martin about black votes and white candidates. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour. Tonight, our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, Deputy Chairman of the Democratic National Committee. He's the gentleman in charge of the Humphrey Drive for the Black Vote, and tonight we are discussing black votes and white candidates. During the first half hour, we invited our listeners who are calling in to be kind enough to limit their phone calls. One of the problems that we have had, and among the few complaints we've had about the Night Call show, is the fact that many listeners feel that some of our listeners do stay on the phone just a bit, stay on the phone just a bit too long. And so we're asking our listeners to be a little bit more considerate, because we only have 60 minutes in which to talk to a guest nightly. We're on 76 stations across the country, and we would like to have as many people as possible to talk to our nightly guests. This time we'll go out to Pompin Springs. Mrs. Davis is hearing Night Call over WFLA. Mrs. Davis?
Yes.
Where is Pompin Springs?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I was asking, where is Pompin Springs?
It's not on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, I see.
Yes.
Thank you for calling. Your question, ma'am.
I comment on him for trying to get the colored people to understand who to vote for.
Would you speak up just a bit, ma'am, please?
Who is this sponsor of the program?
Who is the sponsor of the program?
The man that answered the question.
Well, our guest tonight is Mr. Lewis Martin. He's calling in from Washington, D.C.
I'll comment, Mr. Martin. We're trying to get over to the black man to who to vote for, because I'm a Democrat myself, and I hope everybody all the black people will understand what Mr. Humphrey has did and what he stood for. Because I really know myself.
All right.
What he stood for, and I hope everybody will make the right decision and vote for Mr. Humphrey.
Will you thank her for me?
Thank you for calling, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, Black Votes and White Candidates. Our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin. We welcome your calls at 866-5010 in New York. And, of course, if you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. And if you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. This time out to Seattle, Washington, Mr. Carrillo is hearing Night Call over KUOW-FM. Mr. Carrillo?
Yes?
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
Your question.
As I see it, the great majority of black people want law and order with justice, but they're not yet in a position to pay a fair share of the taxes that's necessary to bring this about. Now, the Democratic Party has for a long time acted as though any problem could be solved with money, and it's been mainly the working man's money, the blue-collar man's money. Now, if the black people elect Mr. Humphrey and he spends us down to the bottom of the barrel and we run out of money, then what do we do? How do we help the black people then, and where do we go from there?
Well, I think to answer that, I think what the Democratic Party is trying to do is to help the black people with opportunity. And that is the key word, opportunity. Everything that has been done by the Democratic administration is to try to make taxpayers out of the people rather than tax eaters by giving the opportunity first to get training, second to get jobs and do the things that all of us want done in society.
And I'd like, in this point, I'd like to mention this one simple fact, that in 1960, when the Democrats came to power, under the Republicans, there was not a single citizen being trained by any government program for anything. Today, there are millions that are being trained to assume job responsibilities and become taxpayers. And this word is all we often hear, that why don't the blacks lift themselves by their bootstraps? Well, the true facts are they didn't have any boots nor any bootstraps. And this, the Democrats have tried to do by giving them the opportunity to get some boots and bootstraps to lift themselves.
Well, but their record hasn't been so good, if we can believe the newspapers, as far as the spending is concerned, and the money is cut, it's been spent, and the results that they've gotten, I don't see that Mr. Humphrey's going to be able to do them any good.
Well, we certainly are moving in a constructive direction. However slow the process, certainly more is being achieved than has ever been achieved in history. The first anti-poverty program, the first manpower training program, the first concerted effort to give people an opportunity to learn and to be taxpayers has been in this administration. What you may well say is that not enough has been done, and the first man to agree with you there would be our candidate, Mr. Humphrey, and he wants to do more.
Mr. Carrillo?
Yes?
I'd like to just add this particular comment in a survey that will be published tomorrow, and I suppose in most of the newspapers across the country.
Yes.
By the Mr. Harris, who is generally accepted by most pollsters, and he says that over 90% of all Wallace supporters feel that progress on race should be slowed down. Now, when you talk about the few billion dollars that has been spent or has been expended at the expense of certain blue, white, or blue-collar workers in this country, I think you have to consider that there is a big problem in this country right now, which is attitudes. And once attitudes can kind of change, maybe some of the money that we are spending right now will be able to be spent more effectively. You know, if we could spend $6 billion, you know, to change white attitudes, we might have some changes here.
That's an excellent observation, Mr. Shield.
Well, just spending the money isn't going to change the attitude. You've got to show the working man that there's real results being produced, and there's just not going to be a thing like Harry Hopkins used to say, tax and tax, spend and spend, elect and elect. That's still the old Democratic Party in my book.
No, I don't think you're correct there. I'm sorry to disagree with you. In the first place, a million more people are now working at jobs because they've had the training that this money of the government isn't able to get. And these people are now taxpayers when they were tax eaters just a few years ago.
Well, I hope you're right about that.
Well, I think this is the program now. The fact that we don't move fast enough in it, I think Mr. Humphrey wants to move faster rather than the other way around. I think you can agree with me. We've got to do something constructive about it.
Well, that's exactly my point. But
are you for Mr. Humphrey, sir?
I don't see that damning Mr. Wallace is going to be doing anything constructive about it.
Are you for Mr. Wallace or Mr. Humphrey?
I certainly am.
You're for Mr. Wallace?
Yes. And I think a lot of college people ought to be, too, because I think it would be good for them in the end.
Well, Alabama does not recommend him in this respect, and for the President of the United States, you must admit, if you know the Alabama.
Well, I am not familiar with Alabama, but at the same time, I don't think that either Mr. Nixon or Mr. Humphrey has anything to offer either the white or the colored people. So we'll let it go at that.
All right. Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is NICOL in New York, this time out to Columbus, Ohio. Mr. Stone is hearing NICOL over WOSU. Mr. Stone?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Martin a question, Mr. Shields.
Go right ahead, sir.
Mr. Martin?
Yeah.
In the beginning of the program, Mr. Shields talking about Mr. Wallace's platform, primarily of law and order, where Mr. Shields had mentioned actually in reality what that meant is to keep them in their place. It seems to me that both Mr. Nixon and Mr. Humphrey have both copied this theme, and they're both talking law and order. Now, you had mentioned earlier in the program, however, that Mr. Humphrey's platform is law and order with social justice. Now, what I'd like to know, what happens if that social justice doesn't come fast enough? I agree he's interested in social justice. Now, in the event it doesn't come fast enough and there is widespread rioting or so whatever, what have you, throughout the country then, what is he going to do then?
Well, in the first place, I can understand that, and thank you for asking me.
Yes, sir.
But I sincerely believe that no man in leadership today will do more in obtaining social justice and working for it and fighting for it than Mr. Humphrey.
But this, I agree with that, sir, but really it doesn't answer my question 100%. What in the event, what if there is widespread rioting? What if his...
Well, may I offer a comment, sir? I don't think the question really can be answered by Mr. Humphrey or Mr. Wallace or Mr. Nixon. I think the question should be asked to the American people. What are the American people going to do? One man can't get up and go on any television station or any television program or get the New York Times and all of the other dailies across the country and preach his message unless the people want to hear it. It's frightening to me. Again, I'm going to go back or refer to this survey that we have that will be published tomorrow, and it says that 58% of the whites agree by 2-1 that America has discriminated against Negroes for too long.
Actually, what frightens me in this whole thing is the fact that Mr. Nixon and Mr. Humphrey, who's supposed to be a fine man, have copied this law and order theme.
Well, I think when it comes to
law and order,
it's kind of difficult, I think, for Mr. Martin in this particular position of being and being deputy chairman of the Democratic National Committee to...
Would you, Mr. Shields, have an answer?
Well, I have an answer. First place, I think we have to realize in any political campaign, many candidates say a lot of things. You want to talk about law and order, I'll give you a statement from Mr. Julian Bond. He says, when Wallace says law and order, that means if you lie down in front of his car, he'll run over you.
Oh, I believe that.
When Nixon says law and order, he means that if you lie down in front of his car, he will order his chauffeur to run over you. And for Humphrey, law and order means that he will cry while Mr. Nixon and Mr. Wallace run over you. Now, I think this is a very interesting kind of tongue-in-cheek thing uttered by Mr. Bond. Now, if you're going to take this seriously, I think we're all in trouble. Let's look at the political campaigns that are presently going on. You have men who are making speeches across the country night in and night out. You've got a tired group of reporters who have to turn out some kind of copy. How many speeches can a man make? A man goes into New York and says one thing, and he may have to go to Pennsylvania and say another thing. All this is political rhetoric, but let's get to the bases.
I wish that the major candidates were a little more honest, and I really don't believe they have to say law and order. Outside Mr. Wallace, of course, I can expect it from him, but I don't think that Mr. Humphrey has to say law and order at all. That's all I got to say.
Well, then one point I must make, that when an issue is paramount in a campaign, no candidate for office can ignore the issue.
Well, I think he's speaking primarily to the white people.
And he's not going to ignore it. He faces the city, confronts the issue, and gives his view on it, and his view that law and order can ultimately only be obtained by creating the conditions out of which law and order grows.
Exactly, but when Mr. Humphrey and Mr. Nixon talk law and order, I think they're primarily only talking to the Wallace voter. That's what I'm a little like.
Well, I think the statistics will show that all citizens, black and white, want law and order, but blacks particularly are concerned that law and order be based on justice and not sheer police repression.
Well, the only thing, law and order primarily, I think, means two different things. One thing to the black person and one thing to the white person.
Right.
You're right.
Well, it all depends on whether you're going to put down a candidate because of one statement. I don't know.
And I think it's all a bunch of double talk, actually.
Well, the records are important in this, and that's why I hope everybody looks at the background of the men and not just the language. It's what a person has done year in and year out on the causes and the relevant that I think one should really look at hard.
Well, I'd just like to see a little more honesty.
Right. Mr. Stone, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Good night.
We return to New York this time. Mr. Taylor is hearing Night Call over WLIB. Mr. Taylor?
Right.
Good evening, sir.
May I speak to Mr. Martin, please, sir?
Speak, sir.
Fine. Well, Mr. Martin, I'm a Humphrey man, I'd say about 90%, 99%. Now, the reason why I say that is because I haven't read too much about Nixon. I mean, that's my own fault at present because I've been so busy. But what I'd like to ask you, was Humphrey in Harlem this past Saturday, last Saturday?
No,
Well, he had the flu, and he was in bed.
Oh, oh.
And he couldn't get out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, you see, the reason why I asked that, because I heard that he was supposed to be there. Now, this issue about Harlem Hospital, would you know anything about that? Because so many buildings have been put up in a room. Harlem Hospital is
Mr. Taylor, as significant as that question is, tonight we are discussing black votes and white candidates. And I can't give you any information on the Harlem Hospital thing at this point, but we'll try to get some information on that at a later date.
Right, sir.
Okay? Thank you for calling, sir.
Right, Mr. Shields.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Lewis Martin after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, is there an international Mason-Dixon line? The Reverend Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, head of the World Council of Churches, says there is a partial geographic one, at least, stretching across the southern third of Africa, and a much more worldwide philosophical one whose boundaries roughly divide the have nations from the have-not nations, which Red China is trying to exploit at the expense of both the Russian bloc and the Western democracies. Blake says this is the single most explosive issue in the world today and the priority issue facing the church in this country and overseas. The Reverend Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, head of the World Council of Churches, on the worldwide Mason-Dixon line, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to Lewis Martin about black votes and white candidates. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest, Mr. Lewis Martin, Deputy Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the man who has the big responsibility of bringing in the black vote for Mr. Humphrey, and is our guest tonight calling in from Washington. And this time we'll go out to Indianapolis, Indiana. Mrs. Banks is here, a night call over WTLC. Mrs. Banks?
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'd like to ask him this question. If Wallace do get in, don't you think that there'll be a panic or some kind of revolution?
Well, Ms. Banks, I don't like to speculate on the future, but I must say that my fear is that it would escalate the disturbances.
Well, I don't know. I heard the gentleman speak before about violence. I think that Wallace has a certain violence within his own self, like when he stood in front of the school and wouldn't allow a Negro child to enter the school. That showed some kind of violence in his behalf.
Well, he doesn't believe in law and order for himself.
Well, that's what it seems to be. And I don't see how the gentleman before had the nerve to mention violence, because the people that protest strikes now, they had violence there also, because they're stressing their point and trying to bring on something. I don't believe in violence myself, but sometimes it's something that holds back, and all at once it just has to be let loose. And I think that Negroes are human as well as the whites, and that's all.
Well, Mrs. Banks, I think, you know, when we think about this entire political campaign, I think if we would really narrow our sights down to the core of the problem, and I think the core of the problem in the black and white area, and I go back again to something I've been saying right on this program right along, and I kind of believe very strongly in it, is a matter of attitudes.
Well,
if the majority of the white people feel that Negroes have gone too far in their demands, and they can't come up with a program that will help them to feel that they must become more moderate in their attitudes, or they've got to decide what is going too far, what is going too fast. That's where most of your problem is, and I think that most white people who have decided to go into the Wallace camp are those who honestly and sincerely feel within themselves that the black man is a threat. You're thinking in terms of the middle area. You're thinking in terms of the, as the gentleman said earlier, the blue-collar worker. This is the man who is the union. This is the man who has the little house out in the country, out in the suburbs, the little man who has reached a certain stage in life where he feels that he really has a part of the American dream. And he is suddenly told, or has been told by certain people, that the black man is threatening him. Forgetting, of course, that there are only 22 million blacks in America. You know, so even if 22 million people took, if 22 million blacks took the jobs of 22 million whites, that wouldn't be that big a tragedy. But they don't look at it that way. So it's really a, basically a matter of attitudes. And for the first time, a lot of white people can really come out and say, look, I'm a racist, or I'm against the white man, or I'm against the black man. And they can do it with conviction, and they can do it legally. So Mr. Wallace kind of is the kind of camp for them. But let's think in terms of the basic issues. Not, it has nothing at all to do with law and order. It has to do with attitudes. Okay?
All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
This time we'll go out to Toledo, Ohio. Mrs. Daniels is hearing Night Call over WCWA. Mrs. Daniels?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. I really don't have a question.
Speak.
My purpose in calling is to hope that some of the black people who are listening will not be swayed or let their minds be distorted, that they stay home from the polls and not vote.
That's wonderful. You're great.
Because,
I don't agree with you more.
Well, I feel that regardless to whether they vote for one or the other of the major candidates, the fact that they get out and vote shows that they are interested in their own welfare. Now, I am personally for Mr. Humphrey. And I don't see how any black person could be otherwise. I remember when the Republican Party was in power and the Great Depression was on, I saw mothers, I was a very young child, but I saw mothers with little babies holding on to their skirts, trying to get up to the door to get milk. And when some of them would get there, they'd say, I'm sorry, there is no more. This was for bread and other things. Now, the Democratic Party, since it has been in power, has done more for the black man as well as the poor white man than any has ever, anyone has ever accomplished before.
You're great.
Now, I feel that thinking people.
That's right.
Thinking people, not black or white, but just thinking people, will look back and understand that we are living better than we have ever lived before. The black man is not proud of those who go out and riot and destroy property. Most of those are youngsters who really don't know what they're doing, and the thinking black person does not uphold them in this wanton destruction. However, I feel that Mr. Humphrey is the man best able to cope with this, because Mr. Humphrey has proven, as his past record stands for himself, that he is for the black man and that he is for the white man. He is for all people. Now, Mr. Wallace has promised so much to those who really are looking for an excuse to show their racism, who are looking for some excuse to show that they are against the black man. And he has given them a hope. But if you only look at the state of Alabama, and I happen to be a native Alabamian, you will find that Mr. Wallace has given a poor show of authority there in the state.
Well, Mrs. Daniels, I think that Mr. Martin is going to look you up when he comes to Toledo.
You're great.
We want to thank you for calling.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, and this time we'll go out to Miami, Florida. Mr. Bruton is hearing Night Call over WAME. Mr. Bruton?
Hello.
Good evening.
Yes, hello. Good evening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I Is it Mrs. Bruton?
Hello?
Hello. I'm trying to find out who's on the line.
This is Mrs. Bruton.
Mrs. Bruton, I'm sorry. Mrs. Bruton?
Yeah.
Hello, yes, if you will turn your radio down,
okay,
we'll be able to hear you.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, Mrs. Bruton.
I just wanted to ask one question. Can any segment of America, black, white, or otherwise, afford to vote for a candidate solely for that segment's purpose? Or should we vote for a president who can do something for America? Period.
Well, I would like to say first that the interest of this segment, the black segment,
yes,
is part of the American dream.
But
and that is of equality of opportunity for everyone. And it's a part of the guarantees of the Constitution and all of the principles of our democratic society.
Yes.
And anybody that pursues that course in support of those principles will automatically meet the needs of the segment, the black segment of the society. The difficulty we've had is that the American dream has not really been pursued by enough people, because the black segment is a part of that American dream.
But of course it is. But wouldn't it?
So it's in the national interest to help black people.
Would it not be horrible if we were today to be able to bring our boys from Vietnam and they only brought back the black ones?
I don't understand that.
I say, can we afford to vote for a candidate just because of his interest in the Negro race? Can't we vote for a candidate?
We have a candidate who's interested in all American citizens.
Right, this is what I wanted to know.
Yeah, he's interested in all American citizens, and he's interested in equality of opportunity for all of them. And in that sense, I think that he is the kind of candidate would best serve the national interest and the interest
of black people. All over purpose.
That's right.
So that's what I'm after. I am for Mr. Humphrey, but I still wanted to know, could we afford that?
Mrs. Bruton, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much.
Bye-bye.
We've come to that point in our show where we are unable, of course, to take any more phone calls. We have just about 30 seconds, and we're going to ask Mr. Martin if he honestly feels that the black voters in this country have a choice.
I really do. And I do that simply because I know the record, I follow the record of all of these men. And without question, there's just no question in my mind that Mr. Humphrey is head and shoulders over them. Just compare the men. You cannot associate the name of Nixon with any program, any legislation, anything, whatever, that might be considered constructive or relevant to our situation.
Mr. Martin?
It's just the opposite.
Mr. Martin,
yes.
We want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call. Thank you so very much. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, the Reverend Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, head of the World Council of Churches, on the worldwide Mason-Dixon line. Listen tomorrow night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition. We'll be right back.